Chapter 12. As always, the sylph like Julia Evans remains resolutely wedded to her foul dress sense, Jackie Coleman said. She was at her Mediterranean villa, lounging on a sunbed at the side of a kidney-shaped pool. On the far side was a white stone balustrade, guarding the steep drop down to a muzzy blue sea. Tall palm trees were growing out of stone barrels, fronds stirring in a gentle breeze. Considering the perennial obsession which the Gothic cult has for the afterworld, this particular selection of garments worn for the Prior's Fen footing ceremony is highly appropriate, because, let's face it, our poor dear Julia looks as if she's been exhumed after a few weeks residing in a grave. Bitch! Julia shrieked. Her teacup hit the flat screen in the center, smashing into crescent fragments. It was the first object her searching hand could find, a big yellow and blue breakfast cup from the bedside tray. Sugary dregs began to trickle down the flat screen, smearing the dark-haired young man who climbed out of the pool and began toweling himself off. Patrick raised his head from the mounds of pillows which had accumulated on his side of the bed, blinking sleep from his eyes.
"What?" he grunted blearily.
"Oh, go back to sleep."
Julia fired the remote at the flat screen, imagining it was a laser pistol, beam scorching a hole through Jackie Coleman's head, her middle-aged head, and the shiny blue swimsuit showed her thighs were getting flabby too. She folded her arms below her breasts and glared at the blank rectangle. Her bedroom was decorated in a soothing montage of pink and white tones, extremely feminine, with exquisite lacy frills on all the furniture, subdued lighting, a huge four-poster bed with a Romany canopy, ankle-deep pile carpet. It was the third redesign in 4 years. Each time she edged closer to her ideal, the romantic French chateau image she secretly treasured. And what would Jackie Coleman have to say about it? Bitch.
"You're upset about something," Patrick said. "Oh, 10 out of 10. Give it a banana." "Was it me?" "No," she said tightly.
"Ah, right."
He subsided back into the pillows. Well, that ruined the morning mood, Julia thought. There would be no sex now. She pointed the remote at the windows. The thick imperial purple velour curtains swept aside to show her the balcony. Wisteria vines, jean-tailored against the heat of the new seasons, were wrapped round the wrought-iron railings, producing a solid wall of delicate mauve flower clusters. Willem's rear lawns formed a splendid backdrop with their English country house formality. She could just see the long trout lake at the bottom, its fairy-tale waterfall, tinged brown from the silt washed down the stream by the heavy rains. Not even the garden's naturalistic perfection could break her ire. Bugger Jackie Coleman, anyway. Who cared what she said? Although that wasn't the half of it. She still felt guilty about asking Greg to look into the Kitchener murder. And the murder itself was a complication she could do without. Right now, Morgan's security division was stretched pretty thinly defending the company from conventional threats. Industrial sabotage, industrial espionage, crooked accountants, hot-rod hackers infiltrating the data net. Why would anybody feel strongly about something as weirdly abstract as superphysics wormholes? Surely it couldn't be an anti-Evans gesture, not slaughtering a defenseless old man. She couldn't believe anyone was that sick and warped. Besides, there had been no announcement. If any operational PSP remnants had killed Kitchener, they would have been crowing about it all across the media by now. At least there hadn't been much mention of Greg on the newscasts she had caught before flicking over to the Coleman trollop. Some jerky pictures taken from a shoulder-mounted camera, the operator running after the EMC Ranger as it drove out of the police station, Eleanor's tight-lipped anger, Greg impassive as always. Patrick touched her shoulder.
"You're very tense."
His fingers slid down her arms to the elbow, then stroked her breast, circling the nipple. She tilted her head back and sighed through clenched teeth.
"No, Patrick."
His tongue nuzzled her ear, stubble scratching her collarbone.
"I can massage all that tension away. You know I can."
It was very, very tempting. There wasn't a chime in her head Patrick couldn't ring whenever he chose. But for all that ecstasy, he was a mechanical lover. She had begun to suspect a great deal of his excitement came from the way he controlled her body, almost a voyeur of his own performance.
"No,"
she said abruptly, and shoved her feet out of the bed.
"Sorry, I've got a busy morning."
She picked up her negligee from the floor where he'd thrown it last night and went into the bathroom. She sat on the side of the circular marble bath and dropped her head in her hands, staring glumly at the swan mosaic on the wall opposite. There were just so many issues clamouring insistently for her attention right now, the petty, the important, and the personal. She made an effort to blank them out, as if her whole mind was one giant processor node she could shut down when she wanted. It didn't work. Patrick was easy to ignore, a feat which raised its own slightly disquieting question, but she found herself returning to yesterday's strange conversation with Carl Hildebrandt. Greg was always telling her to trust her native instinct. It's a variant on precognition, he explained. Not quite rational, but 90% reliable. And right now her instincts said that conversation was desperately wrong. The bad PR she'd been picking up from leftish organizations and pressure groups had been more or less constant for 2 years, ever since the Giga Conductor was announced to the public. In that context, Greg and the Kitchener case was just one more incident. Nothing special. The way she was citing factories in marginal constituencies was far more blatant, provocative. The PR angle was a blind, then. It had to be. Carl had wanted Greg off the case, plain and simple. From what she had heard about the strange circumstances out at the Abbey, Oakham CID would be very unlikely to find the murderer without Greg and Event Horizon's resources behind them. How would Carl benefit from that? Wrong tack, she realized. Carl was the bank's mouthpiece, the perfect corporate cyborg. How would Dysonberg Mercantile benefit from allowing Kitchener's murderer to go free? Open channel to NN Corps.
Morning, Juliet.
A wan smile crept onto her face. Good old Grandpa. He was so indefatigable.
Morning, Grandpa. Anything important happened last night?
Someone tried to break into our Leicester Music Deck factory warehouse. It was a local gang. They'd even brought a lorry with them to cart away their loot. Security suspects someone on the inside was feeding them information on the shipments. There was an attempt to snatch data out of the Genetics Research Division Memory Corps. We think they were after the land coral splices. The Guardian programs prevented any data loss, and security are working with English Telecom to see if they can backtrack the hackers. Hopeless, of course. The pound closed 3 cents up on the dollar, and the FT Cast Index was up 8 points. Market confidence is high after the space plane rollout. There was a lot of data traffic between our backing consortium partners right into the wee small hours. Got 'em on the run, we have, Juliet.
Did you break any of their squirts?
No. They're using a high-order encryption code. It could be done, but it would tie up a lot of processing capacity. Not cost-effective. They'll agree to Pryor's Fen.
Hope so.
Everything all right, Juliet?
Yes. No.
Executive material, if ever I saw it. So bloody decisive you are, my girl.
What do you think of Patrick, Grandpa?
Handsome, rich, cultured, quite clever, well-mannered. Picked yourself a good one again, Juliet.
There was a shade too much emphasis on again for her mind. She glanced up at the mirror above the basin, and boy, oh boy, did she look melancholy. Her hair was a complete mess as well. Patrick did so enjoy seeing it tossed about, his husky voice in the dark encouraging her, whispering how wild she was. It never seemed to matter in bed, excitement overriding everything.
Yeah, she replied. So how come they never last?
I said good. I never said flawless.
Do you think he's going to start asking me for shipping contracts?
No. Even if his family shipping line needed them, he wouldn't ask. And they don't need him. I've had our commercial intelligence division keeping an eye open.
My very own guardian angel. You're wonderful, Grandpa.
You'll find him one day, Juliet. I'll be a great grandfather yet.
Don't hold your breath. Not the way I'm going.
I watched that Coleman woman this morning.
I don't want to talk about it.
She reached for a comb and began to pull it through the knots. The face in the mirror was scowling petulantly.
I don't like you being ridiculed like that, Juliet. Let me tell you, my girl, it would never have happened in my day. People should have more bloody respect. You ought to blacklist that channel. No adverts. And pass the word round everyone the Event Horizon does business with. That frigid Coleman Co. would soon get the message.
It was the second time temptation had been put in front of her that morning. She considered it, something like envy colouring every thought.
No, Grandpa. If I started using my power like that, where would it end?
Use it or lose it, girl. I've told you before.
That is misuse, as you well know.
I get into enough trouble using it when it's beneficial.
Ah, Juliet, a little bit of self-indulgence occasionally never hurt.
Don't you worry about me, Grandpa. I'll get that Jackie Coleman, you'll see.
My girl.
She put the comb down, the worst of the knots out. It would be safe to ask her maid, Adelia, to wash and set it now. Adelia always got mighty prickly if she was faced with a big untangling job every morning.
I've been thinking about Carl Hildebrand, she said.
Oh, yeah? I don't think he'll be a suitable replacement for Patrick.
Behave. I meant his wanting me to take Greg off the Kitchener case. There's something very funny about that.
Well, it was a very high-profile appointment, Juliet. Bloody marvellous it is, girl. The first time in 4 months the company hasn't had an ulterior motive in twisting Martin's arm, and everyone starts banging on about undue influence. We just can't win.
Carl is a front for Dysonberg Mercantile, Grandpa. First, last, and always, even in these circumstances. He was too quick off the mark, and too insistent asking to see me, just to be offering sociable advice. He was ordered to do it.
Conceded. It is a bit odd. Do you think it's important?
Yes. Why would Dysonberg Mercantile have any interest in a ghoulish murder in the middle of the English countryside?
Beats me, girl.
We'll find out.
Oh, yes, bloody abracadabra, here you are.
Don't get stroppy, Grandpa. It's simple. Run down a list of Dysonberg Mercantile's other investments for me and see if any of them comes into conflict with the work Kitchener was doing.
What, a star drive?
She went to the basin and ran the cold tap, splashing some of the water on her face. It did sound pretty unlikely now she had spelt it out.
Yes, I know it sounds totally wonky, Grandpa, but there has to be a reason.
I suppose so, girl. You've got to remember all this nonsense about actually building flying saucers sounds pretty bloody impossible to a relic like me. Listen, when I was a lad, the Daleks were the wildest piece of imagination ever to hit England. I was terrified of them. One time, when the Doctor was caught in some caves by...
Yeah, if you could get that data correlated in time for the conference this afternoon, I'd be grateful.
Bloody hell, Juliet. You've got a heart of ice. Black ice.
I wonder who I inherited that from.
All right, I'll get on to it.
Thanks, Grandpa. I really am jolly busy this morning. I've got a video bite opportunity with the National Swimming Squad, then there's the Nottingham Councillors' Delegation, and the meeting for the Home Counties Region Managerial Report.
You should complain to the Union Steward. They're working you too hard.
If I ever get the chance, I'll tell him.
Cancel channel to NN Corps. She called Adelia on the house phone and asked her to be ready in half an hour. There was just time for a quick bath, wash off last night's tussle. Hot water gushed out of the wide tap nozzle, kicking up clouds of steam. She stood in the middle of the bath as it twisted round her, reviewing what clothes to wear for meeting the swimming team. Event Horizon sponsored the England squad, so it was mainly a PR event. But she took a genuine interest in the team's performance. Swimming had been her sport at school. She sat down when the water reached her knees and switched on the spar. Water jets and bubbles pummeled her skin, easing the tension out of her muscles. It was no good. She couldn't think what to wear. Access, dictionary file. Define, fallal. Fallal, the memory node reported. Gaudy or vulgar, in reference to jewellery or clothing or ornament, etc. Bitch!